About unity. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from New Zealand. The fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland is where I broadcast from, in the sunny slave island chained nation South Pacific. And to be specific, it seems as though your government, and when I say your government, I mean your government, whoever's listening to this show, this is the same thing, regardless, wants to have you exterminated. Sorry. I mean, I feel sorry for all those people out there who voted for a left or a right party, expecting that they're actually opposed to each other. Sorry to burst your bubble there, but yep. They both want to exterminate you. in the most nasty, horrific fashion you can ever conceive of, obviously. After all, how else do you exterminate people? We have a new call-in number, and we would like to have some people call in this first hour today. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. So please give us a ring if you're keen to contribute something to the show, to the movement, or if you've got some breaking story somewhere that you want to inject into this show. Go for your life. That's what the show is about. Random collaboration. Emphasis on the random and emphasis on the collaboration. Because I find, and I was just talking with my good friend Andy, a.k.a. Wild Hunt, this morning, and he said to me, I said to him that I don't like the whole idea of competition to a large degree. I prefer collaboration. You know, let's say you've got two people who are competing with each other selling lampshades, for instance. One of them sucks, one of them's awesome, one of them goes out of business, and one of them makes money. Okay, that's the marketplace, right? What if the guy who makes the awesome lampshades worked with the guy who made crappy lampshades, and they went into a bit of a partnership and that kind of thing, and the guy who made the crappy lampshades learned what he could off the guy who made the good lampshades, and they worked together to make an even better one? That's a lot of what collaboration is truly about. And you see a lot of this across the truth movement all over the world. You see a lot of this when you look at activists. Okay, activists are always collaborating with each other. Myself, for example, I have a radio show. Most activists don't. So I bring most activists onto my radio show. That's collaboration. I'm a filmmaker. Most activists aren't. So I go and make films about all the activists. That's collaboration. I have a website. A lot of activists don't. So I give them access to the website so that they can post all their stuff. That's collaboration. That's the measure of my resolve, isn't it? Because I feel, frankly, that you do, in fact, need to listen to people in order to ensure that you get the truth, particularly those who know what they're talking about, are experienced, and have something interesting to say. Like my very special guest, who's just joined us now, Philip Key from New Zealand. Philip, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your area of expertise is and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, I've been involved in the media arena for about 15 years, I guess, and being a journalist, I've written on quite a number of major newspapers here in New Zealand. And I guess about 2 to 3 years ago, I saw that everything was sort of heading towards online, and that suited well with my business, which in recent years I've developed in the field of PR.
What is PR?
Well, it's a good question because a lot of people obviously don't realise what it can do for their business. But I guess it's about having a person. I've just had a guy who's going to be swimming the Cook Strait here in New Zealand in a few months' time. He's going to be the oldest swimmer to go across that treacherous piece of water. He's engaged me to do his PR for a number of reasons. I guess it's dealing with the media. It's creating profile for him. It's doing press releases. It's also sort of getting his public image up a lot higher, and it's looking after all the media. So I guess it's something I've worked for members of parliament and sporting celebrities and that type of thing, because they really just don't want to sort of interact with the media themselves.
So basically you're acting as sort of a shield, as you were.
It is a bit of a shield, I guess. You know, I'm writing speeches on their behalf, and I guess it is a shield in that it sort of makes sure that what goes out into the media space is a lot more controlled than it otherwise might be. But it's also dealing with issues that come up for them in terms of what people might be saying about them in the public space. And I guess the part I enjoy most is actually raising the profile of people or businesses in particular. And what I tend to do there is, you know, perhaps put a sporting celebrity or someone that's going to raise their profile in the right manner with their business, and it just gets their brand out there a lot more than it otherwise would be.
Well, it's talking about how you phrase, how you frame, and how you manipulate in order to connote the exact message and image that you want, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I guess that's the skills. I mean, I get people, I just had a guy ring me up at the weekend. You know, he's a very high profile person. He'd been contacted by TV3 and for an interview, or by one of the television channels, and sort of asked my advice on what he should say and do, and also whether it was a good idea for him to even go on there. So, you know, those are the type of things that a lot of my clients are sort of ringing up, just asking advice. Because I guess most people at the end of the day, particularly those in the spotlight, but, you know, businesses as well, they really don't know how to deal with the media side of things. And, of course, as we all know, it can either make you or break you.
Yeah, well, they say that no press is bad press as long as you're getting it to a certain extent. Is that true, that statement, or is there another degree that needs to be taken into account here?
Well, I think, to a degree, and of course, you know, like I'm having, I guess the fact is that, like, I worked as a journalist myself, so I sort of know what it's like from both sides of the fence. And I certainly wouldn't ever, you know, detract on the fact that, you know, the freedom of the press and all that type of thing, because I'm a big believer in that. But at the same time, I guess I'm sort of now acting on behalf of clients, and sometimes it's like saying, well, okay, in that situation, you might be better to say nothing than actually say something to the press. So it's like, to a degree, it's just making sure that their image is protected as much as it can be. But in saying that, you know, sometimes we'll also do publicity stuff that are very much about just creating, creating some branding or publicity for the client. So we're often out, you know, just reaming up all sorts of wild and wonderful ideas to actually get that client on the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems to me that if you're going to put yourself in the media spotlight, what you say, every single word, can make or break you to a large extent, right? And therefore, it's a very precarious position which requires, well, should we say, coaching to a degree. Is that part of what you do?
Yeah, that is very much what I do. I mean, I'll give you an example too. One client, very high-profile person here in New Zealand, you know, over a period of, I guess, 10 years, everything that he commented on in the media was everything that I'd written. So, you know, there was never anything that went out into public space without me having some input into it. So it is very much about making sure that you're conveying the right message. And, you know, one silly comment without any thought going into it can certainly, you know, can certainly backfire on you. And I guess sometimes I get engaged as well to repair the damage that's been done by some company CEO who's just sort of shot from the hip, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like loose lips sink ships. That was an old. I think it was might have been World War One or World War Two thing that they were telling all the troops. Because frankly, it was. I think it was based around the whole idea that the German U-boats had and Germans and spies and stuff were everywhere, and so you're not supposed to even tell your missus when you're shipping out or what ship you're on or what your course is or anything of that nature, because you could wind up getting torpedoed. And that's not entirely dissimilar from what's happening here. If you say things, the wrong things, to the wrong people, you can wind up getting sunk.
Exactly. And I guess what's happening now is too, like, you know, the whole online side of things is really making it even more important, because things can spread so much further and so much quicker in terms of comments that are made, as we've evidenced through social media over the past 5 or so years. So, you know, and I guess one of the things I'm really looking to do is probably with our company, we're looking to put a lot of, you know, a lot more sort of press releases online that have actually got some credibility and are not just things that, you know, people are making up or whatever. So, you know, that's something that we're really driving for our clients now, is grabbing the online space, but actually doing it in a way that they can create their brand online professionally, ethically, and also, you know, take advantage of the fact that they can build their brand with press releases and content online so much quicker than we've ever seen in the past. So, you know, the world is a much smaller place now. And
cheaper.
And cheaper, yeah. I mean, one thinks that we're probably going to see over the next 5 years or so the demise of the likes of Rupert Murdoch's empire, because, you know, because the newspaper world is just not going to exist. It is not going to exist in the future. And we're going to see that, and we're already evidencing. I mean, in New Zealand alone, 54 of the 55 newspapers have suffered a very dramatic decline in circulation over the past 12 months.
I think there's a two-pronged reason for that. Number one, it's far more expensive and far more inaccessible to people to a large extent, rather than the internet. Somebody doesn't even have to leave their house to get their newspaper and what have you. And the other part is they've been shoveling BS for so long that people are starting to smell it and don't want to be corrupted with their nostrils no more.
Yeah, and I think too the fact is, like, obviously, I guess the biggest challenge for newspapers at the moment is how do they justify the charges that they still insist on making for advertising, which is A, not working, and B, you know, very much subject to those decreased circulations in the offline space. And I guess the biggest challenge for the likes of Rupert Murdoch is how do you prop up your traditional media against what is very much evolving into the online market, and how can he charge? How can he charge online? So that's a real challenge for the media world in the next 5 or so years. And I really, I fear. I mean, you only need to look at how the teenagers and younger people of today get their information. It certainly is not through newspapers. Certainly not the hard copy version of them.
Well, it's kind of hard to get information out of a newspaper. I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said, somebody who doesn't read newspapers at all is far better informed than somebody who only reads newspapers.
Yeah, you're probably right too. I guess that's where we're going to see the likes of OK with this wave towards online. The other thing that's going to be a point of debate is the information that's going out there. And I hear certainly some indications yesterday, and I think particularly in China or India, I think it's India where they're looking to control that the content going up online. And the other thing is, okay, so what sites are going to be known as authorities for information? Because that really changed, you know, there's so much information on the World Wide Web, but so much of it is not correct. Or it might be a person's opinion, which is fine, but you're obviously going to have sites that you can rely on for their content.
Well, I think that the marketplace automatically sorts itself out in that regard. Like, if people are retarded and they have no idea what's truth, what's lies, and what have you, they'll obviously gravitate towards websites that sell BS to them on a silver platter. If people are intelligent, capable of critical thought and analysis and what have you, they'll naturally seek out news sites that have a lot more credible information for them. And, of course, this is the phenomenon, which is the reason why all mainstream media outlets, I say, are now in a rapid, rampant stage of utter decline of late, to a point in which even TV3 MediaWorks, the private media company in New Zealand, had to get a $40 million government bailout. Isn't that fabulous, ladies and gentlemen? A very special guest is Philip Key from New Zealand talking about PR. It's always good to have an expert on the particular issues such as these because, after all, it almost dominates your life, doesn't it? Regardless of whether or not you realise it. We'll be right back after the break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Face the facts, we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino Ranga, Tita Tonga, we don't know the banks. The parliament does so, so where do you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, tea, contraband. So kids act up and disturb our community.
Coming at you live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. In the mad cat scumbaggery filth nation. Oh, yes, there is lots of scumbaggery going down in New Zealand. I can assure ye. But conveniently, they have really good PR people so that you don't notice. Like Philip Key from New Zealand. Phil, welcome to the back.
Thank you, Vinny. They won a factor.
Yes. Now, speaking of scumbaggery, have you actually had to represent anybody in PR, school them so that their evil schemes and plots and what have you don't get discovered?
Not really, no. I mean, as I said, I've represented a few MPs, but...
I'll take that as a yes.
But, no, I guess most people... I mean, I'd probably tend to enjoy... doing positive PR for people as opposed to the sort of negative shit. But unfortunately...
you're not allowed to say... Unfortunately, you're not allowed to say that word on FCC-regulated radio. So, yeah, we have to keep it. It's a family show.
It's a family show. Okay, I'll remember that. I haven't really had a lot of that type of thing, fortunately. But, I mean, the whole PR side, you do come across situations. I guess... I probably, in terms of that, I probably like to think that my clients, I help them avoid that. So in terms of bad or negative stuff, I'm always thinking a step ahead of the media that's sort of trying to come after them. So I guess, yeah, that is a big part of it. And my clients, or our clients, will tend to actually ring up. So the minute they sort of get contacted, they'll be straight on the phone and I'll advise them as to what to say or do. So yeah. It is pretty much, it is acting like a bit of a minder. But, you know, the bulk, that's sort of a small percentage of the work. I mean, the bulk of the work is actually getting out there and creating new brands and hosting events. And I do a lot of work with young people with developing their profiles and that sort of things, which I really enjoy. Young sports people.
And you've been doing this for how long?
What have I started my career in journalism in about 1985, 86, and then I went into PR in 1998.
What made you want to switch careers?
I guess that I really wanted to sort of probably utilize those journalism skills and actually get out there and work for the clients that I was that I'd sort of got to meet during my journalism career. And I guess the other part was I figured that I could get twice or three times as much money for doing it.
Yeah. I was thinking...
I enjoy working, I enjoy working for myself because I tend to like, a big part of PR is doing stuff that's a bit edgy, that's going to get headlines. And I love just sitting here at night dreaming up the next thing that's going to make the front page of the paper, get on radio or TV.
So let's think about this. I mean, what are the ins and outs, the dirty details and things of that nature that you've kind of unearthed as your career as a journalist and a PR man? I mean, what's your actual worldview at this particular point, Phil?
Well, okay. I see where that's sort of like, I guess, having worked at what I do, I know that a lot of it is not necessarily a lot of it involves perception. So not everything is how it seems, and that people can achieve things by profiling. I mean, I think Winston's the classic case in point. He's the ultimate master at getting his profile out there at the right time and creating public perception of what he's doing. So, but it is certainly not what you might always think. And I also would tend to think that, that the likes of the big pharmaceutical companies and that sort of thing have big, powerful marketing PR machines because they know how to get their message out there. And I guess that we don't always necessarily get to hear the message of a lot of other people. So it's not, I think really, as you said before, I mean, people have to know how to sort of work out things for themselves. But when they're reading information or hearing information, that does tend to have a big influence on the way they think.
Go on.
Yeah, so, what you hear or see in the media space might not necessarily always have to be the truth because they can only report what they're being told most of the time. And I don't know that the level of investigation amongst journalists is probably anywhere as much as what it used to be because of the way that we now have far fewer journalists working on newspapers. So the likes of Fairfax have run their number of journalists and right down to the point, can they actually afford to have reporters assigned to investigating some of the stories like they perhaps used to? The information is not necessarily always what you might think. And I think people have to have an open mind. And I guess one of the values of the social media revolution has been that, it's had the ability to change the thinking process of a lot of people throughout the world, particularly some of the Arab countries. So it's broken up some of the control that we've seen in the media space, previously. So I think it's been really good, and I think social media will continue to do that in the future.
Well, I think social media is basically coming into the breach here in a very militaristic fashion. They've noticed the gap in the market and have just basically come all out and going into it. We've now got citizen journalists who aren't paid, who are doing the investigations, as opposed to professional journalists who are paid, who do the investigations. Instead now, the paid journalists are merely paid repeaters. They don't investigate squat.
No, well, they don't have the time. That's my very point. You know, when I advise to look around the room at the newspapers in New Zealand now compared to when I was working at them, you know, there's just no comparison of the staff numbers. It's probably about, I don't know, it could be 20% of the staff levels when I was working in them. So, you know, they just don't have that resource necessarily. So that you're right, Vinny, that they're sort of tending to pump out what they've been given. And I think there's an opportunity, and it sort of comes back, I probably didn't explain it necessarily as well as I might have hoped, but there is an opportunity perhaps for more of a online news organisation that's really devoted online and to create. I mean, I'm trying to do it myself because I've actually got four young journalists and PR people working for me next year. And I guess what I'm trying to do is create something which will be online, but it will actually give jobs to writers in the future. And at the end of the day, if we were to leave it to the traditional sources of where journalists look for work, they're going to dry up very quickly. So I've got young people, sort of one straight out of uni, the other one's sort of in her last year. Then I've got a couple of PR people, I've got a graphic designer. And so I'm looking to really make some inroads into the online space and create a newspaper-like network, almost like a press association, but in the online space. So, of course, you know, we saw the demise of the press association earlier this year, and hence I've called my company, later sort of company, Media PA, because it's like the online media version of the press association. They'll be trustworthy. You know, hopefully we can actually basically have a journalist that will dig out stories and will become a place that our material will be recognised by overseas news sources because of its reliability and trustworthiness.
Well, I think that the whole idea that journalists don't have any time is a complete farce and a fraud, essentially. I mean, it doesn't actually take that much time just to talk to an activist who's done all the research, you know? It's like, I'll talk to the Prime Minister, and then I'll talk to somebody who's been critical of the Prime Minister for a very long time and knows all his background and everything in order to break down his policies. I'll have a five-minute conversation with John Key, five-minute conversation with the activist, and that allows me the balanced perspective and provides all the research that I need in order to give an accurate report on a subject, right? Whereas journalists are just like, well, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to interview the Prime Minister and repeat every word he said.
Yeah, so what? Why do you think, I might sort of challenge that back another step, and that is that maybe the Prime Minister's office is actually on the front foot in putting the press releases out and creating the news and information. But one wonders whether perhaps the people on the other, if you were to say the other side of the equation, are doing the same job. See, it's easy for somebody to say they're getting no noise in the media. But I would challenge that and say, are they actually creating any media? And are they actually going to the media? And do they spend, like I spend, my time with journalists? You know, so I actually wine and dine some of them at functions I do, just from the point of view that they know when I ring them up who I am. And they'll respect what I've got to say and who I've got to say that for. So sometimes I'm going to the media on behalf of clients that sort of want to raise the rah-rah of the government or whatever, but sometimes it can be the other side of the equation as well. But they know that when I do come, there's always something in it for them. So I think
I think it just comes down to interest, really. I mean, is the journalist passionate about the topic in which they're speaking about? Are they willing to go the extra yard? Because in my careers and jobs and work that I've always done, extra work, extra hours, innovated new approaches, new styles, etc., in order to accomplish more. I, for example, job descriptions never cut the mustard for me because I always want to do more than what one single isolated job can be, because I know that it's interconnected with
all other topics, all other subjects, parts of the company running, etc. Or at least that's how my mind works. So I never see things in isolation like that.
Yeah,
like
but that. Yeah, but Vinny, do you realise, this might be an interesting question for you, do you realise that's actually quite unusual? That there's actually not a lot. I mean, I'm the same. Okay, I dream and I live and I just love what I do. So I do it 24/7. But, and this is where I get fresh, you asked me the question about why I left newspapers. Because I got frustrated that I was sitting in a room of people that didn't share the same passion half the time. So, you know, that does make a lot of it. You know, that people don't necessarily have that same attitude towards their job. So, and I think in a lot of cases, you've probably hit the nail on the head. It's far easier to actually just take a press release and run that in the paper, maybe change a few words around, than it is to actually really get out there and try and get a story.
Yeah, we had Ian Wishart on the show here. He's probably one of New Zealand's most famous investigative journalists, deep investigator.
Yeah.
And he says...
the only one.
Well, he says flat out that journalists are just morons.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they just... well, there's certain things that they do know, and I guess... You know, back to that question again, I guess the reason I left journalism was because I realised that I wasn't really like most of them. You know, I was a little bit different. I was actually more passionate about what I was doing. And, you know, I was really money-driven to a degree from the point of view that I wanted to get money to be able to help other people. So I think he's right. I think in a large degree that, you know, a lot of them do... not really have that ability to go. Hopefully the ones that I've got will be very different to that. Certainly if they listen to anything I have to say, they will have a passion for their job. But
I think a crappy employer will always employ crappy employees because they don't want people that shine and make them look bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right on me. You hit the nail on the head there. But I would encourage, you know, through your station, I certainly still encourage people to, if they have got something that they're looking, you know, to really get the message out there, to actually utilise, whether it be a PR, you know, to someone like a PR person, to actually create something that they are going to get coverage out of. Because I think sometimes you do have to go a little bit on the front foot. And it might not just be with newspapers, it might be with some other forum as well.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about more of this after the break. Very special guest from Positive PR Limited is Philip Key. You can search him up on the internet, Positive PR Limited New Zealand. We'll be right back momentarily talking about how freaking useless journalists are in a lot of the cases. Back in a moment.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster Playboy scum on top. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the
there
deadly
no
gangster
the
Frankenstein
controls. Never a truer word has been spoken. You're either going to wind up getting a bat into the face or a jackboot to the neck. So, think positive. maybe you'll correct that wee crook in the neck that you've been seeing a chiropractor about for the last 4 years. Billy Club therapy. But anyway, my very special guest from Positive PR Limited here in New Zealand is Philip Key. And we were talking over the break about kind of employers, employees, and, you know, my history about how I once got paid $3,000 to leave a company in about 5 minutes' time because I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with it. And
I've been working well.
Yeah. They didn't take that very well, and it dawned on me that
Well, basically, if you're a thinker, if you actually are somebody who ultimately would wind up be best to be running a business, you don't make a very good employee because you make your employers look bad. And if you make your employers look bad, they've got this whole ego thing going on and they don't want you anymore. And ultimately, people who are creative and capable and exceptional in many ways, shapes and forms wind up getting forced out of a lot of job positions or wind up shuffling jobs around a fair amount, basically because they've gotten to the point where they don't feel appreciated and they can't expand.
So true. You know,
and this is something that happens to good journalists, I've found. As soon as they start covering the truth, becoming passionate about it, really digging into it and getting their Shiite Muslim together, as it were, they wind up getting fired, demonized, etc. And it's just no longer something that I'm prepared to tolerate, which is why I started Guerrilla Media, to give all those people the coverage they deserve in what limited capacity I can, which in terms of New Zealand alternative media, nobody else has a number one YouTube channel like I do, or the best radio show in New Zealand like I do, or a web platform where people can post their own content directly without any censorship like I do. So I'm just doing that for them because they deserve it. They've proven themselves worthy, and that's why I have people on like Philip Key.
Good on you. Yeah, no, I think the whole thing about that is, I think having a platform where people can actually speak the truth, as it were, and I guess this is one thing about, you know, sort of saying too about setting up a press association, which is what I intend to do in terms of having factual news and that type of thing up there. Well, the other thought is whether you actually have like a PA, which is like, I guess, what you're talking about, that would be a people's association. So it is very much about the people having their say. And I tend to think that one of the, you know, like when you've got a controlled media space as you do, and I guess one of the things about that newspapers, and they are getting a bit of a wake-up call at the moment, but they still like to exude that control as to what they will publish and won't publish. And it's sort of come from the days of, well, you know, we can tell you to go bark up a tree, because if we decide we're not going to have a bar of it, and they certainly don't tend to like anything that's too unconventional, then we're not going to run it. And because the fact that the media space is shrinking in terms of the print radio TV market, then, you know, it's becoming increasingly difficult for Joe blogs to get their message across into the public space. But thankfully, that's all changing with what people can do in the online space.
But now that's going to be regulated. In fact, there was an article in the paper the other day, ironically, saying that they're now going to think about the government regulating online blogs and things of that nature because they want to maintain journalistic credibility. Now, if anybody's lost credibility, it's mainstream journalism.
Yeah, so that I think that actually came a little bit from India, because, you know, they're tending to create that sort of culture as well in terms of control. But it's not a good thing, and I guess it would be a very hard thing to police in terms of the online space. I can't really see how they could do it, but it would be a very hard thing. But I think where you really want to have that sort of voice is attached to a news site that's not afraid to run the hard stories, or some of the stories that the newspapers might put in the too hard basket, but then have those people's views attached with it. Now, why I say that is because, to a degree, it's fine everybody doing blogs and what have you, but really how many people might read them or might not read them? So I think, in terms of having a powerful online site that's not controlled by the hierarchy or the system, it's probably important to have a combination of news and comments.
Well, it basically, I'm all for collaboration, and I'm kind of against competition because, I'm not actually against competition per se. I'm against bloody monopolism. How much of the media in our country or the United States is controlled by a very small clique of people who dominate virtually all of them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's the very point, because unlike the days where you actually had probably five or six players in the media market in New Zealand, I'm sort of thinking back to the 80s type of thing, the market now is really predominantly, you know, controlled by two or three players. So outside of that, you haven't really got a lot of choice. And then, of course, you know, you've got some government control coming through what happens on television. But you just haven't, you haven't got the choice. So the hope for that, and I, you know, to a degree, that's one of the reasons that young people have sort of really gone away from that traditional media, because, you know, the online really provides them with a forum to express their views a lot more, and also they're connecting with other people.
Yeah. I'm thinking... I wonder at what point there's going to be a big tip over. I see progressive legislation coming through in order to silence the alternative media, and I see progressive legislation coming through propping up the mainstream media. Something's got to give some point.
Well, I think it's got to give from the point of view that people are no longer prepared to tolerate it. And I think most people tolerate something once or twice, but they're certainly not going to tolerate it on an ongoing basis. And I think what people have to realise, and society has to realise, that we're in, and you used the word tipping, but we are in a tipping point between traditional media and online media. And as much as people might say, and I've just come from a speaking engagement this morning where, you know, I still had one person in the room who wasn't prepared to admit that, or prepared to acknowledge that, you know, social media would ever have any part to play in his life, but everybody else did. And compared to 2 years ago, when I first started talking down these lines that, you know, the newspapers were going to become a thing of the past and it was all heading online, you know, they used to sort of accuse me of being on drugs. But now, you know, I just noticed when I get out speaking about this once or twice a week, that the opinion, people are seeing it, and there is nothing surer than we're going to see this evolution, this revolution, more and more into social media. And, you know, it might be a little bit, because we really understand it more, but believe me, getting around the public space, there's still a lot of people out there that don't think it's ever going to change, that newspapers and TV and radio are still going to be, you know, number one, and social media is never going to be a threat. Well, wake up. It's changing, and it's going to change, because we're going to see hundreds more Facebooks in the years to come. That's only the tip of the iceberg. It will be replaced in the years to come by something bigger. So there is no two ways about it. The whole media world is changing. And
I look at it like this. Like a cancer patient who's just been given 6 months to live. That's the mainstream media. Sorry, there is a terrible viral disease ravaging everything that you hold dear, and your days are numbered. Have you got a bucket list? What do you want to do before you're out of the job? What do you want to do before it all collapses in on you and you got nothing and you're buried? Okay? I always say that if you don't like the media, become the media. Replace them with something that is relevant. And that's what I try to do, and that's what so many other people are doing. And because of the fact that that's what everybody's looking for nowadays, they're becoming remarkably successful at it. It's not that hard. All right, so final words, Philip, if you will, and then we'll have to bid thee farewell. And thank you for coming on.
It's all right. So, yeah, obviously, thanks for the opportunity. And we look forward to watching the space in the next 12 to 18 months, and really encourage people to look at alternatives and look at ways of promoting their business through PR.
All right, indeed. Philip Key from Positive PR Limited in New Zealand. If you need to promote yourself and actually get some positive PR or figure out how to defend yourself against unbridled attack by scumbaggery, then go to Positive PR Limited.
Yeah.
It might be able to sort you out. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the
Vintage Shop. Good talking to you, Vinny.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in scumbaggery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz and the Mr. News YouTube channel, Mr. News Gorilla Media. Go check that out if you want to hear any of the archives on the show in YouTube format, as well as having the ads cut out and all of this other stuff. So, yeah, basically, I find, as I was talking to the guy, Philip Key, from Positive PR in the last hour, that when it comes to getting a job done, it always takes passion. That's what it's really about. If you want to create something that hasn't been created for you, you need to be passionate and strong enough and have enough dedication to get it done regardless of your impediments, because there will be many. There will be people who tell you that it can't be done. There'll be people who tell you that you're not capable. There'll be people that tell you that it's unrealistic. There'll be people who tell you that you can't afford it. There'll be people that tell you a whole myriad of reasons why you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. All of those people are wrong. And unless you're capable of going, no, you're wrong, I'm right, shut up, you won't get anything accomplished. If you listen to the people who tell you to do nothing, what are you going to accomplish? Nothing. It's pretty straightforward. And we have a guest on the line here today who has accomplished a few things. He has a fabulous little radio show that he does on Blog Talk Radio, and he was kind enough to invite me on the other day. And as I do when people invite me on their radio shows, I like to reciprocate. I like to collaborate, so I invite them on mine. His name is David Nathan from The Bright Side on Blog Talk Radio. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. I really appreciate you having me, just as I appreciated your being on my show, man. It's nice to be here.
Oh, yeah. You know, I kind of, when I'm on other people's shows, I come up with some amazing crap, like more than I come up with on my own show.
Well, you know, that's probably true. I mean, I'm one of those people too, you know. I mean, I like to kind of let the spirit flow when I talk. And sometimes I don't always think beforehand of what I'm going to say. It sort of just comes out. And that's kind of what I noticed with you as well. It seemed like you just sort of just let it free flow. You know, you have a general direction, but and you get your point made, you know, and in a colorful and artistic way as well, I might add.
Yeah. Well, tell us about you. How did you get sort of started up and do your radio show, your history, you know, background, man, for all those who may not be familiar with you? And make sure you plug your website, too.
Okay, well, I definitely will do that. All right, so my background, wow. Grew up in a conservative religious household. So, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, sort of kind of saw a redeemer outside of myself, somebody that I had to please, somebody that made me feel guilty about who I was. But then at the same time, you know, I was one of those people that had those kind of otherworldly psychic experiences. And I ended up having one in say, my 20s that caused me to realize that there was a lot more to the universe and to life than I had expected, that there was, I don't know quite how to put it, but it really sent me in search of myself. And in the process of being in search for myself, I got into theosophy and metaphysics and esoteric stuff, and began to see God is inside, the spirit is inside, the true self is being inside, and began to see, you know, myself as, you know, just being another facet of the universe and not look for salvation outside of myself. And believe it or not, that started leading me into really examining, like, at it for the last year, talking to some of the people that I, you know, could only think about, you know, watch on television, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Michael Cremo, Stanton Friedman, talking to Richard Dolan, talking to people that had abduction experiences, people that had near-death experiences, talking to Mark Cipher, who wrote a definitive biography on Nikola Tesla, and just beginning to try to get information out to people, you know. It really bugs me. It bugs me a great deal, really, that people have no clue who they are and what's really going on around them. Really, really bugs me. So I'm trying to do what I can to get some information out there. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly
what you're saying.
I know you do. You do.
I don't know. I kind of think of people like us as sort of, I don't know, disciples to a degree, you know, without a God.
That's a good way of looking at it. A friend of mine had handed me a book a long time ago called The Reluctant Messiah. And it's kind of a sad story because the guy didn't want to be a Messiah, you know. He just, you know, and I know that we all grew up with the idea of Messiah as being like, well, you know, one guy, you know, who's going to come from the sky. But I think a Messiah is somebody like yourself or like myself or like David Icke or like Alex Jones, somebody who really takes it upon themselves, who really feels Martin Luther King Jr. passionately about who they are, about what's going on in life. And they're really pretty much ready to sacrifice the mundane for that. And that's and they jump up on that cross, you know.
So to speak. Well, and I think that the whole idea is about passion and sacrifice. And what happens with a lot of people who wind up stumbling over the truth, and some people just carry on, as pick themselves up and carry on as if nothing ever happened, as Winston Churchill said. And I find that when you make a commitment, when you have a realization, I believe it's closer to awakening than anything else. It's not a change of career. It's not a change of clothes. It is a change of mind, a change of life. And it's something that you almost, basically, once you make that decision, there's no going back.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't think there can be a going back. I mean, it changes your atoms, you know, it changes the structure of your physiology, maybe of your ethereal, your ethereal body. You know, I just think it changes you, and you can't. You know, you said something on my show, which I found really, really interesting, because I used to do a lot of 9-to-5 work. I have probably worked as a temp in offices. Well, I have actually all over, you know, Manhattan where I live. You know, no part of this city where I haven't been in that building over there on that floor, you know, pushing papers for somebody. And I can remember some mornings getting started to go to work, and I'd get halfway down the block, man, and I couldn't go any further. You know, I mean, literally, my body would not go. It said, no, I'm not dealing with this today. I'm not dealing with this kind of a world. I'm not going to be crowded into the cattle car. You know, I'm not going to push paper. I'm not going to make money for somebody else. I have to go back because I couldn't physically do it. You know, I had to find my own way. So, you know, that's what I'm doing.
A lot of people don't do that. I mean, that's kind of like taking the Messiah route, whereas other people just make a mess, you know, and they leave out the ire.
Well, you know, yeah, very true. You know, look, it's hard. People just want a life. You know, look, we're just whatever we're down here for. You know, we want it to be relatively easy. You know, that's just the general, I think, the way we generally think as whatever kind of beings we are. You know, we want a nice life. You know, we want to have a family. You know, we want to eat, cook, clean, go to the movies, be entertained, entertain each other. And that's really all we want. And die. And and not get sick. And so that's all we want. But when one comes into all of this other stuff that's been hidden, then it changes things. And all of a sudden, that's obviously what we want out of life. But yet we realize we can't really have that because somehow the ability to really get it the way that we want it is being kept from us. So now we have to figure out how to balance all of that, how to have a little bit of that. But yet at the same time, to really go out there and say, but wait a minute, you know, all these things are, you know, I don't want to use the word standing in my way because maybe that's not fair. I know people say, well, nothing's standing in your way but you. Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, when you is, a group of policemen or you tends to be a law that's being passed down, that's clamping down on your physical freedom. You know, how do you get to that part of you and change that part of you? And I guess that's what the Messiah does.
I find that there's sort of like these two camps in the truth movement. There's the ethereal side and the practical side. And I don't think one can exist without the other to a large extent, kind of like on the battlefield, how you have the frontline troops who go and kill the enemy and you have the backline
people who maintain the camps, feed the troops when they come back from battle, stitch them up, patch their wounds up, counsel them, or give them medications to help them with their physical problems or what have you, right? And those people who are back the line, patching all these soldiers up and what have you, they would be dead if the soldiers weren't out doing the fighting, and the soldiers out doing the fighting would be dead if they wouldn't have somebody feeding them and patching them up after each and every conflict and battle, right? I think that's kind of how the Truther movement works. You have the people who are out there on the front lines with the megaphones, taking the fight to the enemy, as it were, and I think the enemy can be pretty easily defined as just ignorance, okay? That's the real problem, the pin on humanity that we currently have. It's ignorance. If people don't know who's in control, what's going on, the methodologies that they follow, and the Satanistic practices and sacrifices and what have you that they do behind closed doors, there's no possibility that they'll ever wind up creating a better world. And it is those people who go out on the front lines who expose that. However, those people will often suffer an immense amount of trauma. Like, I've interviewed a number of people who have been exposing child kidnapping and some of the worst of the worst of the worst in any movement, and many of them develop psychological problems, and I feel that it's everybody else's responsibility to back up the people who are doing the stuff that you can't do yourself.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with you on that, actually. And by the way, I just want to make a quick correction. I said ethereal, and I meant etheric body earlier, just to throw that in there. But I really kind of agree with you on that, because I find myself running into people that are within this awakened movement who love to talk about love and light. Everything is love and light. And I used to be that, too. You know, everything is love and light. You know, spirit is going to take care of everything, and you know, whether it's, you know, the change is going to happen and we're going to move into a higher understanding. And that's all they want to talk about. They want to just talk about that. And then there's those of us who just want to go out and say, but look at this, look at this, look at this, and look at this. And all of this is still standing in the way of everybody. And I've come to the conclusion, like you have, that both of those people are needed. Both of those groups are needed. I think we have to serve where we can serve. And but we have to allow ourselves in serving not to point the finger at somebody else and say, well, they should be more this way or they should be more that way. They're doing what they can do. And you're right. Without the other group doing what they're doing, you know, life is a multifaceted thing. So there's no one way right or the other. Let me tell you a quick little story. I was down at Occupy Wall Street, and I was down in a meditation circle. It was beautiful. You know, I mean, I don't know, 50 people meditating, and the incense was burning, and it lasted for quite a while. It was being filmed. And there was a little march going around the perimeter of the park. And there were doctors. I just want to make a point. There were doctors in this march, you know, just not just students. Doctors and nurses were marching and holding up their placards. But as the march ended, this young guy came up, and he came up to the group of people meditating, and he goes, all right, people, it's time to wake up. Cock-a-doodly-doo. Come on, join the marchers. And man, you know, I just wanted to pop him. He took me right out of my serenity, you know, because I'm thinking, look, you're doing what you're doing. This is how it works for you. You march around the perimeter. You got your sign. You're making your point. But what these people are doing in their meditating circle is just as important. They're here, you know, and what they're doing to help change the consciousness of the race is equally important to what you're doing. So that kind of ignorance bugged me to no end for a period of time. I had to get over it. I got over it.
It's mostly just a lack of respect for other people to a large degree, you know, and like I don't meditate, for example, because I just don't see the point and don't see how much you can accomplish but with your eyes closed.
Well, let me tell you, man, I'm going to tell you straight up, you can't accomplish a lot with your eyes closed because, and if you don't mind my just throwing all of this in here, you know, I'm going to slip over into my spiritual aspect for a minute because we are life. We are the essence of everything that floats around in the air. We're in every animal. We're in every atom. Our consciousness is. And the consciousness of the human race, while it can't be seen, is a pervasive energy field. And meditating allows change to that energy field. Meditating sends change to that energy field. And there's times in my meditation, because I can't think about this stuff all the time. I can't be you know, I mean, I want to know what's going on. I want to know everything. I want to know everything from MK Ultra to the super soldiers, to sex slaves, to UFOs, to new cures, to teleportation, all of that. I want to know all of that, all ancient history, all of that. I want to know it. But at the same time, all that stuff's going to friggin' pass. It's not going to last forever. It's just part of this frame, this time frame now. But meditation allows one to get out of this time frame now and to move into another time frame, to move into a state of mind where their brain waves, where their spirit, where their energy itself and their essence itself can become one with the life and the consciousness that flows around the planet. And that's where the change, begins to happen, because that change goes out. It's an energy, and it goes out as a real thing, and it goes into the positive bank, you know, and we have to put more stuff into the positive bank. And that's what it does. And that's why I see the value of both. And that's why I do it. I mean, I just meditate because I just get away from this.
There was a great explanation of this and the power of meditation. I think it was in Washington, D.C., the murder capital of the world, both literally and figuratively, of course. They did a big, massive meditation. I think it was something like 3,000 people meditated in order to bring the murder rate down by 30%. And the chief of police said, look, it would take 6 feet of snow to make the murder rate come down by that much. 3,000 people meditated. They meditated to make sure that the murder rate came down. And sure enough, it came down. There's a lot of latent power within the human race. And it doesn't matter whether your eyes are closed or your eyes are open. It's still all energy. And it depends which energy you want to put your impetus behind. My very special guest is David Nathan from The Bright Side. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/brightside1, you can check out his radio show. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskoda, on Stranger Advice, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio. Radio.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TVI brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Show. Immortal words of Bill Hicks, who we were incidentally just talking about over the break. So perfect timing right there.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, so we were talking about how you can accomplish the same amount with your eyes open as with your eyes closed and what have you. And I feel quite, I don't know, consistency. Consistency is the key when it comes to actually making things be accomplished. I mean, that's why we do this radio show 5 days a week, and we get stuff done all the time because, quite frankly, it's an absolute necessity to a large degree. You don't really have much of a choice about it when you face the fact that there are a very very well-organized, extremely evil group of filthy, disgusting, degenerate, scumbag, Satanist filth that are ruling this planet and, in essence, dictate almost every single aspect of your life. Okay? You cannot walk out your door. You cannot wake up without seeing New World Order agenda all over the place. And that, to a lot of people, becomes incredibly depressing. And I feel that there's no point getting depressed over a bad situation because it'll make the bad situation even worse in your head.
Well, I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, depression isn't going to help. And depression and fear and anger and anxiety, are all of those are the things that they, quote unquote, feed off of. And doesn't help to feed them. That's for sure. So it's better to starve them. And the only way to starve them is really to start off by being positive, to start off in a belief in self. And that commercial, I think, right beforehand was about that. And really believing in oneself and believing in one's freedom despite, you know, I mean, I have to go stand outside and smoke a cigarette in the cold because you can't smoke inside anymore, even if you're in a place where alcohol is being served. I think that's ridiculous. Sorry, but I get an opportunity to say that on the air. I think that's like inhibiting my freedom. I'm an adult. It should be a place where I can go inside and sit and have a beer and sip and have a cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette and not have to stand outside. That right away, and that annoys me every single time, no matter how light and lovely I try to be in my head, you know. So, you know, but I know within myself who I am, and I know within myself what I'm here to experience on this planet. And so, you know what? I suck that part of it up, you know, so figuratively speaking and also literally. You know, I suck it up and, you know, I deal with it. But you're right, Vinny, man. You can't, you're going to be affected by it all the time. And it's like this. It's like some people go to church and they believe they go to church once, you know, they sing their hymns, they read their Bible. Maybe they go to Bible class in the week or not or whatever. Then the rest of the week they go out and they do what they want. Well, it's the same thing here. You know, you can't like come up once a week or every so often and say, well, you know, I don't really like this. I don't think the way the world is going is fine, is good. And then the rest of the, and you deal with it and you meet in a group or whatever. And then you go out and you buy into the system for the rest of the time and you spend your money at, you know, some huge chain where, you know, where they get in, you know, really cheap labor from China and East Asia. It can't be done like that. It has to be consistent. It has to be consistent from the moment you wake up. You have to realize who you are and project the dream that you're looking for. You know, you're looking for that better world. We'll project that dream and be that person, you know, despite having to stand outside and smoke a cigarette in the cold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to be this person. What are you waiting for?
There you go. You're asking me what? Go ahead.
Well, I think this is the problem a lot of people have, is that they talk themselves out of being the person that they want to be.
You know, they're waiting for that moment. You know, they're waiting for the for everything to be right. They're waiting for the stars to align. And I think the truth of the matter is one has to align the stars as much as possible. But one can't say, well, gee, the stars haven't aligned yet. And I have to wait till they align. And, you know, then I'll be able to go out and do what I want. You know, I mean, I have a friend of mine who's an amazing vocalist. He's a great singer. He has a soulful, truly, truly, truly unique voice and presence. And he loves it. But my goodness, you know, and I mean, it's healing. But, you know, every time I say to him, well, find a piano player, go do this. You know, that's all you have to do. There's an excuse. There's a reason why it can't happen now. And that's got, you know, that's got to go, man. No matter what it is that you want to do, that's got to go. You know, you just got to step over that hurdle. And that's not easy for people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's about letting go. And you got to, I don't know how to actually phrase it to a large extent, because ultimately it usually takes an awful lot of suffering in order to teach you a lesson that will make you change your entire life. You know, you have to be arrested, or you have to be fired from a job, or you have to have a relationship breakup, or you have to lose the use of your legs, or something big and bad. And usually it's trauma. Usually it's some kind of trauma that you suffer that will change your entire life on a dime. And often people are afraid of trauma because they fear the trauma itself. Whereas I'm now starting to realize in my own life that welcoming it, allowing it, and experiencing it is actually the most valuable experience you will ever have, because it will teach you things that placid, nonsensical nattering never will.
Well, you know, I think we're taught that life is happily ever after. I mean, Disney tells us that, and I think that people believe that, you know, they should go through a life without suffering. I had a friend rudely tell me years ago that, you know, Earth was like school, and, you know, that you were going to suffer and you just had to deal with it. And that was part of what the lessons were, and you weren't going to get out of it until it was over. And I hated to hear that, you know, because I was trying to go for that life of non-suffering. And you want to know something? You can have it. You can have a life of non-suffering, but it really depends on what your definition of suffering is. And once you really get clear on what suffering is, you could be in the worst situation and be having the greatest time, because you know who you are and you know that you're here for the experience and the experience only. And not you personally, of course, but one knows that there is more to oneself, that there is more beyond, and that we are not bound by our physical bodies or even bound by the circumstances within our physical bodies. And then one can actually suffer, you know, with a certain amount of equanimity. And then one finds that one really isn't suffering after all. And then before you know it, gee, there's no suffering. That's my equation. I don't know.
Yeah, well I don't know if it's meant to be about suffering or pleasure or something else. But I find that I want to prioritize certain things. Like I want to prioritize having integrity, being kind to people, and doing things that I feel matter, you know, talking about things that matter on the radio or what have you. And I also want to help people. All kinds of people. I don't really care what your subject is or what your particular area of research is. If you're doing something decent for humanity, even in a small sense or what have you, if you have any kind of inspiring thoughts or a story or anything like that, I want to help you to be better than you currently are. And I think I get that because most of the people that I have in my circle of friends are always giving me advice and telling me to do this, that, or the other so that I can actually improve who I am as a person. And that's what the real human experience has really boiled down to for me, is simply improving and improving on a consistent basis. And that's about it. If you stop improving and you start doing the same things in a repetitive motion and you no longer develop as a consciousness, as a human being, as a soul or what have you, then you're basically violating your opportunities to do so. And it's just a waste.
Well, you know what? I agree with you on that. And also let me say, and you know, because to sort of take what you said about what I said about suffering and bring it to where you are, you know, when I say the end of suffering, I don't necessarily mean joy all the time and wake up every morning and, you know, it's just like, hello, I feel so great. No, what I really mean is just like a sense of purpose. I mean, to me, the end of suffering is feeling purposeful about your life, because then, you know, the challenges are there to make that purpose, to strengthen that purpose and deepen that purpose. And for me, that's what the end of suffering is. And in terms of helping people and everything like that, as a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to do a plug for one of my archive shows where I interview a friend of mine who's a young kid. He's your age, Vinny, as a matter of fact. And he's written a one-man show, which is about his father's suicide. And then he's taken that show, and he also does a mental health mental health seminar, Q&A, and lecture in conjunction with it. And he's taking it out to universities because that's his belief. His belief is to take his art and to help people. Now, we don't get into talks about, you know, the dark side. When we talk, you know, he talks about what it is he's trying to do to help people right here in third density in the here and now. This is what he can do. This is the best that he can do. And he's helping people and he's finding a great deal of satisfaction in it. I think if we're doing a job of service to people, helping them to get well, helping them to get better, I don't know, sweeping their floor, whatever. I think we're at least a bit on our way, you know. I don't know if helping people is, you know, I mean, you can find how to help people in every job, but I mean, if you're in a certain position where, you know, you're there to sort of, you know, take people's money, it might be harder for that to be a position of service, but maybe there is some aspect to it that works. I don't know.
Well, I see. Ultimately, I don't want to help people who won't help themselves. You know, if somebody needs a hand in order to accomplish something that they want to do, I'll give them a hand. But if they want to be dragged around by that hand, told what to do, shown what to do, and basically abdicate all forms of personal responsibility, creativity, and anything of that nature, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. I just don't have the time for you because I'm trying to lead myself by the hand here. And if you want to come with me, fine. But I can't be the course of direction in your life. Only you can do that. And that's part of the responsibility of being a human being, is you have to figure out what it's all about on your own. You can ask anybody any questions you want. You can interact with whoever you want. But you can't expect other people to figure out your life for you. That's why it's called your life.
Right, right. it's kind of like, you know, the give a man a fish for the teach a man to fish. And I postulate that maybe you do a little bit of both, you know. You give him a fish every couple of days, and then the next few days you show him how to fish. Obviously, if that keeps on going in that pattern, you might well get tired of it and move on. And I think that in this whole thing where, you know, for me, where I'm trying to put information out there for people, because, you know, I'm putting this information out there. I'm putting it out on Facebook. Sometimes I put it out in a conversation, and I'm like, okay, is anybody hearing this? Do people want to hear this? Or maybe, you know, whatever. But I've come to the conclusion that you can only put it out. So you can only show the man how to fish, and then whoever wants to pick up the rod and go fish can do it. So, you know, I just continually try to put the information out there. But I can't, you know, I can't make people take it upon themselves to take advantage of it. And this is the information as spiritual information as to who we really are inside, which is very, really very powerful. And the other information as to what's going on outside, which is, you know, really very distressing. But either way, you know, these are things I think we need to pay attention to further our lives, man. I just think people need to start paying attention to it. Get out of the telly and get out of, I mean, there's nothing wrong with television. Love a little television myself. But, you know, you can't be ruled by it. You know, it can't be your emperor, your king, you know, the person that, the thing that you worship on a daily basis, because it's too destructive.
Yeah, I remember I was working in an office building and going up in the elevator, and I saw these two guys behind me, you know, in the nice dress pants and dress shirts and good belt buckles and what have you, just talking about the television show that they were both watching last night. And it recalled to me about when I wrote an essay about, I think it was in university, about anti-television discourse and how the news uses the "and now this" phenomenon. Every 30 seconds they change the story and you never remember anything, and you kind of get distracted, and it forces people to have a kind of a brain-numbed stew type thing to it. And I got a D for that essay, and I was really ticked off. I was really ticked off about it because it was the first essay that I actually really did the protocol. Like I read books, and I generally don't read books. I mostly watch documentaries and listen to radio interviews and whatnot. And I used referencing and did all the stuff that I'd never done before, because basically I just couldn't be bothered, couldn't see the point in it. But this was something that I was really passionate about. This was something that I had a very strong opinion on. And I found that book after book that I read totally agreed with me. And the freaking teacher's opinion was, TV is good because it brings people together and gives them something common to talk about. And I just thought that was freaking stupid. Because what good is it to have something common to talk about if it's something else other than yourself? If you, as a person, don't have anything in common and TV is the only thing that you got to bring you together, there's something bloody wrong. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is David Nathan, and we'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877 873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your life, as it has been, is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about organized crime and scumbaggery. Broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled deep within the Transylvanian hills.
Okay.
All right. We were talking about TV over the break. And I've been watching this series called The Arrivals, and one of my listeners, Ahmed from Tunisia, put me onto it. And there's one particular section, I think it might have been episode 19 or 18 or 17 or something, one of them. There's like 44 episodes of it or something. And it talks about Arabs being demonized in the media and movies as the stupid guy, the bad guy, the fool, etc. And it gets to the point now where after, say, 9/11, you had all these massive attacks on Arabs and Muslims and all of this sort of stuff. And it's just basically you've categorized an entire race of people who in general are very good parents, well-educated, very moral and very kind and very loving. This is all the Arabs and Muslims that I've met, all the same. And yet, because we've been plugged into a fantasy for quite some time, when you see all those good, nice, decent people being massacred, slaughtered, having limbs blown off, being burned to death, being crushed by their own roofs as bombs fall upon their peaceful cities, you don't even care, because the fantasy has been built up and that you now identify with the fantasy more than reality, and it no longer affects you. And this is the danger of vain entertainment, is that even if you know the difference, that's the problem with it. Even though you know the difference, it still seeps into your mind. It still corrupts your thoughts in such a way
that you cannot distinguish the reality, even though you think you can. That's the problem. And when we have a society as we do now, where people are obviously not in tune with reality in any way, shape, or form, it's no wonder, is it?
No, it really isn't. And, you know, part of the thing is, too, a lot of the people aren't seeing the same real images that you and I see, because those images that you're talking about right there, they're on the internet. Most people aren't going to go looking for them. They certainly aren't on the mainstream news. So people don't really get to see the horrors that are happening in, you know, in Libya, in Palestine, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. They don't get to see it. I have a good friend of mine who was also on one of my shows. He was on 9/11. He's a pilot. He was a pilot for Malta Airlines, and he lived over in he lived in Libya for a while. He spent a lot of time in Iran, and he said those people were the kindest, most amazing people to be around, and he loved being around them. He was heartbroken by what happened in Libya. And what he also said was that we don't get the images over here that people, you know, that say we used to. Back in the days of the Vietnam War, even I remember those days where the papers would publish pictures of, say, of the troops coming home, how many people were being killed, how many of our own soldiers were being killed, the horrors that were happening over in Vietnam. Well, they've learned that. They've learned their lesson now. So you don't get to see that now. You don't get to see pictures of Americans, all American soldiers that are suffering because of these wars and because of what's going on. You don't get to see those pictures of those guys that are coming home in body bags. And you certainly don't get to see, not in the mainstream media, the pictures of the people that are being killed and maimed and phosphorus bombed and all these horrible experimentations that they're doing, chemical warfare. You don't get to see any of that. And that doesn't get into the magazines. You're not going to pick up Time magazine and see that. And you're certainly not going to see it on CNN. And so most people don't still even know. You know, so they hear a few Arabs are being killed, and it's so what, you know? So they're the enemy.
So what if those terrorist plane-flying SOBs died? They deserve it.
Yeah, and don't get me even started on the fact that, you know, there were, you know, that the guys that were supposedly in those planes, you know, half of them are still around, and the rest of them were Saudi anyway. There was no reason to be running into Iraq after them, that's for sure, because they certainly weren't there.
And the ones that were still around, incidentally, are victims of identity theft.
There you go. So, but you know, still, people are like, and I'm going to tell you, you know, I had my thing. You know, I was there when 9/11 happened, and, you know, I saw what happened, and I was watching it. I watched it from across, you know, from the Brooklyn Promenade. I watched it. I ran towards it, actually. At a certain point, I was like, I can't stay in my house anymore. You know, I live downtown Brooklyn, so I was able to, like, you know, head that way, you know, and I was... People were coming, you know, who were walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, coming home in suit and covered in, you know, in the white dust. And my roommate at that time actually was over there. She called me. She was like, she called me when, you know, when one of the planes hit and the towers went up, and she took shelter in a building and was there when the other buildings came down. But, you know, I went over there to watch it. And, yeah, you know, I felt something in my heart. You know, I mean, I knew something was wrong and was terribly wrong. You just get that feeling inside. But nevertheless... You know, I had there was like a Palestinian grocery store on the corner, and I lived in near an Arab neighborhood in Brooklyn. I couldn't go in those stores for a very long time, man. I couldn't look those guys in the face. I felt so ashamed. They had nothing to do with it. I know now completely that they had nothing to do with it. But the way the media covered it at that time, even for somebody as astute as myself, I was affected by that. You know, it just really goes to show, you know, how powerful it can be, these images, the mainstream media, and how they want to get you to think something, they make you think it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I came up with a thought the other day, how much of my thoughts are actually my own, you know? How much of a powerful propaganda mechanism is out there to make me think that thought is mine, when in actual fact it's just been implanted there through repetition and propagandistic means? How much control do I really have over my own thoughts and my own life when I'm sitting here constantly allowing myself to be influenced by all this BS?
Well, you know, there's some people out there that say don't trust the voice in your head, you know, and maybe there's some truth to that for that very same reason, because the voice in our head sometimes can lie to us. And, you know, that's my answer to that one, Vinny. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I feel like at this particular point in my life, This is why I think meditation comes in, and this is why I think closing your eyes and meditation comes in, is that it really teaches you where your voice is located in you, so that at a certain particular point in time, and even if it's not a voice, it's not a voice, actually, what you connect with in meditation, and this is, again, without eyes closed and not closed, but basically I think it's with a certain stillness. I think the stillness is what we're looking for. If you connect with this energy field, it's an energy field that is you. And when you connect with that energy field, you begin to know who you are. So if a person is thinking thoughts that may not necessarily be their own, or may come from outer influence, you know, they might begin to become more aware. Oh, wait a minute. I'm doing this not because this is what I, you know, I'm not buying this Smirnoff, or I shouldn't say that. I'm not buying this particular brand of beer because I want to buy it. I'm buying it because I just saw the ad around the corner and I didn't even pay attention to it and I want to try it, you know? I think we become more aware of that, you know, the more centered we are in ourselves.
Well, I think that's the problem with being human, though, is that we have this thing called the human condition. And psychology and various other means of understanding the human condition used to be used to help people to understand who they were and what they can do and that sort of thing. But instead, now it's being used to predictive program us and manipulate us into doing what the elite want. You know, this is the problem. Well, you're using the methods that can be used to awaken and to help people, to force them back to sleep and to enslave them. And that's something that I just deeply have an enormous problem with, namely because, you know, I used to have a job as a salesman, and my ability to manipulate people was very, very strong. And I chose not to lie to people, but I saw other people doing it and being successful, almost as successful as I was. It was just like, I don't know. I feel confused a lot of the time. Do you get that, David, as well? You just kind of have this feeling of confusion, like I don't know what I think right now. I don't know where I'm heading right now. I don't know what's going on right now.
I have periods of that. I'm not going to say I have it all the time, but I definitely have periods of that where I might say, "For wow, you know what? You know, what the heck am I doing here?" I try to. But I also know that I'm here for a reason. I know I'm here for the experience. And I've kind of become rooted in that. That's kind of become sort of like a very solid thing for me at this particular point. And so I'm finding myself becoming grounded in that more and more. So I'm hoping these other times when I'm really feeling a little bit unsettled, and I'm sure I'll get some of those, because that's when I'm thinking, okay, who's shooting EMF waves at me? You know, I don't know what's going on here, you know. I do have that, but I try to build up a reservoir of self-identity that will allow me to not be done in by that energy too much, so that I can be productive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to be confused about who you are, do it when you've got some time off.
I'm telling you, dude, meditation, dudes, meditation, close the eyes. I'm serious, man. I'm serious. I am serious. Like, what do they call it? Serious? Like what? Rain? I don't know. I can't even think of the expression right now, but I'm serious. It really is beneficial. And in conjunction with that outward energy and that outward thrust, meditation can just, I mean, shoot off like a rocket, you know, shoot off like a rocket. That's my feeling. That's, you know, yeah. And that's for everybody.
Yeah, well, we've all got great power both within us and opposing us, and it takes, well, just a profound realization to realize that you can overpower everything else that's being influencing you fairly easily if you simply put your mind to it and then put your heart into it, because you've got to have those two working together. Otherwise, your body doesn't function, and neither does your soul. Thanks very much, David, for coming on the show with me today. And ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out on Blog Talk Radio if you search The Bright Side. So it's blogtalkradio.com/brightside1. Thanks very much,
That's
mate.
It. Thank you, Vinny. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in and being as fabulous as you were, particularly those in the chat room. You've been very helpful today. And we'll see you again sometime.